The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle Throwback Radio, Rant EM Radio. Oh, yeah.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your hosts,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Definitely don't want none of this on a Friday night. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. That's not true. Not all children. We are your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. We be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your ever so gracious host, your blue collar scholar, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea, and I am joined by...
Mega Powers.
Damn right. We're live, David.
Yeah, we're live.
That's right. Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. January the 29th, 2016. Coming correct, as we always do. How you been, my man?
Fucking exhausted, man. I did like 13 hours today. 7 a.m. until almost 8 p.m. at work.
Oh, look at you putting in the overtime.
Overtime all the time.
Overtime all the time. That's how we do it here.
Until I can get the fuck out of that place.
Until you can get the fuck out, yeah. Anyway. Well, you're here with us, and we're glad you're here with us.
I'm glad to finally be here. You know, it's been a long-ass day, long-ass week. And I'm excited. I'm excited for next month. I'm excited for the Black Achiever Awards. I'm excited for... my own creation, the Martin Luther King of the Ring.
We'll get into that in a few minutes. Let's say hello to everybody in the chat room. I see Kid Human in there.
Scott!
I see Ted Turner. Hello. I see Josh E. I see... Let me see. Who else is in here? Everybody else is anonymous. Okay. Okay, so... We do have some stuff to get into prior to our kick-ass throwback this evening.
Certainly do.
Yeah, man. I got a little bit of news as I'm sipping this crafty beer I got going on over here.
You know, I got two whiskeys going on tonight.
You know, I was going to break out the hot stuff, but I had such a, I made myself a really, really filling dinner that if I drink hard liquor, I'm probably going to pass out.
That's what I'm aiming for, Phil.
Well, yeah, well, I don't want to pass out during the show, Dave. I want to, maybe I'll have some whiskey after the show because my, my appointment got canceled in the morning. So I don't have to go to the doctor in the morning so I could sleep in. So maybe I'll have a couple.
You know what? I actually had a doctor's appointment yesterday as well, and I just canceled it.
Wow, look at you. I did. My doctor calls me. She texted me. She's like, I have a dental procedure. Can you see me next week? I'm like, no, I'll be out of the state next week. So I have to like, she's like, all right, so come back. I'm like, all right. So there you go. Enough about me and my nonsense. First of all, before we get started, I want to say a very happy birthday to our boy Choppy, who's celebrating today. So if he's listening, it means he has no life and he's not celebrating his birthday. So I'll get this on a download. Choppy, have a great birthday. Want to thank you for all your stuff that you've done for the show, behind the scenes, giving us footage and helping us out. Really appreciate it. Sitting on the anniversary show this past year. So thank you for that. And according to Facebook, it's Sugar Shane's birthday tomorrow. So Sugar Shane, another fan of the show, another good guy, part of the rant too.
So, happy early birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, man. Let's see. I lost weight about time. Ted Turner wants to know if I lost weight. No. I haven't gained any either, so I'm doing okay. But thanks for concern. all right. Let's get into some news that we can use. All right. It was announced 2 days ago. How about this?
That only 2 days ago.
That Shinsuke Nakamura, as Kenny Omega would say, will be making his NXT debut at the Dallas NXT TakeOver event in a couple of weeks.
Good Lord.
How you feel about that, Mega Powers?
I'm excited, but, you know, since I have tickets to the Asbury Park show, I was kind of hoping something would happen a little bit earlier. But actually, his very final, for the time being, because never say never, or as the last James Connery Bond movie, Never Say Never Again.
That's right, you whore.
His last, for now, New Japan Pro Wrestling match is... technically tonight in Japan's, it's already the 30th over there, but it's the last match is on the 30th. So
can you believe January's gone already?
I can believe it.
It's crazy, right?
You know, the more that I'm on this planet, the faster time is going.
Yeah, it's true, man.
Like even today, you know, just being at work, like I think for most people, you know, there's a lot of drama at work. There's a lot of, like, nonsense going on. And, you know, with all of that, like, I don't know. I'm not really too fazed by it anymore. I'm just kind of, like, numb to it. I just do whatever I got to do. And the time just flies by. I don't really think about it. I don't concern myself with it. And I just let it happen.
Yeah. Well, I got some drama going on at work, too. It has nothing to do with me. Thank the maker.
Same here.
Yeah, so I'll talk to you offline. I got some stuff in the works, maybe. I don't know. I got some stuff going on. I will definitely fill you in. May affect the show, may not. Depends on us. Anyway, let's see. Check my list over here. Yes. Did you read what Jim Cornette said about Lucha Underground?
I saw it, but it was, you know, he just talks so much shit about stuff. Like, I just didn't bother to read it today.
I'm not going to do a whole diatribe and read it. I understand. Believe it or not, I understand what Jim's called. Lopez posted it, first of all. That's where I got it from.
Okay.
Well, Lopez posted something, and I saw him and something else, and came on my timeline. And then I put it on our timeline. So I'm reading it, and it's typical Cornette. You know how Cornette is. Jim Cornette is a straight shooter. And he's an old man.
He's got nothing to lose. He's been there and back. So.
Yeah, he's done everything involved in wrestling he's done. He's been a manager. He's been a booker. He's been an owner.
Listen, whatever these guys are doing, you know, let me rephrase myself. You know, when these guys are telling everybody they got the tickets, you know, for the flight, Cornette's already been back with photos.
Yeah.
So come on.
No, and I'll give him that, right? I just want to, like, for there was a lot of hate for Jim Cornette, and rightfully so. There's a lot of fans of Lucha Underground, fans of all shows that like Lucha Underground. A lot of people that we know like it. I'm a fan. I dig it.
I've only seen one episode, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? It's an acquired taste. It's the same acquired taste as if you were watching Strong Style, if you were watching Lucha Libre, if you were watching some kind of shitty reality show. Because that's pretty much what Lucha Underground is. It's a very well produced lucha based organization. Is that safe to say? Okay. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. I'm not siding with Cornette. I just see where Cornette's coming from, where he says that it's overhyped, it's over choreographed, it looks too fake. And this is somebody who's been in the business for like 30-something years, and now
that's lucha in a nutshell. Everything looks fake about it, but...
Right. And he wants to protect the business.
Yeah.
So he feels like by them doing these, and like he called them like acrobatic monkeys and some other shit, and I was like, you know what? I think the sport has evolved to a point where it can get to that, and you still can be entertained.
It's been that way for when he was around.
Yeah, that was my next thing. I don't understand why all the fucking hate, because he was booking Ring of Honor for a couple of years. It's the same guy who said Steen and Generico wouldn't go over. It's the same guy that said the Briscoes wouldn't go over. Same guy that said that Steen wouldn't make it anywhere in the business, and now he fucking was the top dog in WWE this past year. He beat their top guy. This is the same guy who had no love for Samoa Joe and CM Punk and a bunch of other guys. So he's been wrong before. And yeah, I know. He lost that Alice Radley chick in their podcast because he's a fucking idiot. He's an old man, guys. I mean, he's a bitter. I don't want to say he's bitter. He's an old man who's set in his ways. And every family,
it's not just being old, but the guy was successful multiple times, you know, doing, you know, working a certain style. So, you know, a lot of these guys, they're like, well, this works. Why don't you do what works? And they don't realize that, you know, things have changed. And hey, best way I can word it is, guys like Owens and Generico and whatnot, have reached success, in the wrestling business, obviously. But they haven't reached the kind of success that he's experienced.
Right. Josh E. saying in the chat room, sometimes burns bridges with a lot of people. But like Dave said, he's well off in the business where he could. I'm not defending him.
Yeah.
I'm not. I feel like I know where he's coming from, because there are certain things, elements of current wrestling that I don't even like, that I miss with the whole kayfabe and protecting the business as a kid. Like, somebody brought up Andre today, and I was very vocal. Again, I guess Lopez. Shout out to Dan Lopez, by the way. Dan has been very inspirational this afternoon.
No, don't shout him out. No.
So Dan put something about Andre, and I said, you know, it's the same thing where You take some of that nostalgia and you carry it with you. You hold it to you. Whether it be your favorite band or your favorite wrestling or your favorite actor or whatever the case may be. There's certain aspects of the current product I don't like, that you don't like, that we voiced our opinions about before, and that's fine. Again, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has them. Some of them stink.
Yep.
And we're not always right. Everything that you listen to on any show that you listen to on this network, any other network, is opinion-based. No one's right. No one's wrong. You can agree. You can disagree. You don't have to listen. Blah, 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 blah. Right? But
at the end of the day, it just gives us something to talk about. And the fact that people are talking about it is excellent.
Yeah. So I went on social media.
Gives us a reason to be here.
Yeah. You're right. And I went on social media, and they were and Cornette was getting abused so bad that he was retweeting all the tweets that were sent to him, just bad or good.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, we've met the guy before. He's a fantastic, person. Doesn't matter who he meets. He's always super nice. Again, the wrestling business at the moment, even though we have like tons of wrestling on television and online streaming services, you name it, he's experienced a much, you know, much different, you know, level of success than, you know, some of these guys have. And, you know, regardless of, you know, if, you know, if Kevin Owens had a great match with Cena, and, you know, regardless of where they are, you know, he's been at a higher level, and I can understand why he wants to, you know, shit on certain things and this and that. But, you know, really at the end of the day, like, the fact that there is that much wrestling around, like, you know, who really gives a shit?
Right.
I understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, don't knock down like a good thing that's going on.
Exactly. I mean,
granted, these guys are getting hurt and left and right, but still, like, it's entertaining wrestling that's on television.
You brought up us meeting Cornette, and that was like 2 years ago already.
Yeah.
And I remember when we met him, there were so many people around him, and he was so cordial. People were asking him just the dumbest shit. And I know he was shilling his t-shirts, I get it. But he took the time and addressed every single one of us. Good questions, bad
thoroughly.
Questions. And thoroughly. That's the thing too, man. Jim Cornette's one of those guys that I wish I could follow him around when he goes to these conventions or he does these shows. Because every time he says something, good or bad, it's still causes a ruckus in this internet wrestling community. And I like that. Not a lot of guys do that anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel he's still, you know, true to form, you know, with his character and who he is. You know, he's still passionate about this business. You can't, you know, deny that about the guy. And if you listen to his podcast or just listen to him talk about anything, it's so entertaining. You know, he's you know, he epitomizes the South, you know. He's a cordial gentleman. He'll embrace the fans and all that, and, you know, at the same time still be sleazy as fuck. But
he was on Flair's podcast a few months ago, right?
And you know, I've yet to listen to one episode of Flair.
You're not missing much. But okay. Cornette's episode was good. JJ's was good. A few episodes, depending on who he has on, is good, right?
Yeah.
So him and Cornette, and every time he mentioned something, like, Cornette was like the saint, because Rick was like, remember that time we were in Atlanta? Remember that time we were down here? And, that, and like, and, you know, Cornette was one of those guys that wasn't, he was one of the boys, but he had such a mind that he didn't get down with the promiscuity and all the bullshit. I mean, he's gotten in trouble a few times because he hung out with Ric Flair. I mean,
well,
if any of us hung out with Ric Flair in the 80s, we were getting in trouble, you know? So again, I'm not sticking up for Cornette, but I love Cornette.
Dude, you know, you take the good, you take the bad, and there you have the facts of life.
The facts of life, exactly. This is without Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah.
Next time you guys see Will from That Awful Podcast, he does a very, very funny Edna Garrett. So you have to ask Will to do that for you. Anyway, moving right along, I'm digressing. I think Cornette's a bit out of touch, and I think it's finally getting to him that maybe part of him is bitter that he's not in the business. Maybe part of him is bitter because he's had success and now he's not doing it no more. And yeah, maybe the business is passing him by. I don't know the case. I don't give a shit. But it was an interesting article. It caused a lot of ruckus today on social media. And I said, you know what? I'm glad, because I really didn't have enough news anyway. I'm gonna address it.
Well, usually, you know, we always have like our big stories, but then the rest of the week is just kind of like, you know, small little shit.
Yeah.
But you know, with Jim Cornette, you know, he's always gonna be corny. You know, he's always gonna be, you know, who he is. I'm sure even back then, you know, the you know, some of his, you know, his thoughts and opinions back then were, you know, controversial too. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of like, you know, success can be an addiction too. You know, a lot of these guys, once they've, you know, reached the top, you know, whether it's been, you know, NWA, WWE, whatever. Yeah. Once you've been there and you enjoy it and you're passionate about it, you want to experience it all the time. And when you're in a situation like him, who, you know, he lives and breathes wrestling, I don't know what he does for a living outside of, you know, managing.
I know he does memorabilia. Like, I know he's got like this big mansion in Kentucky and he sells
the biggest Memphis wrestling collection.
Yeah, so I think he sells his stuff, and I think he puts books out, and I think he does all these conventions and stuff. And I'm sure. Listen, again, I really don't care. He's not gonna change my way of thinking. He's not gonna make me stop watching Lucha or any other fucking promotion. I just feel like the fans, all the marks on the internet today were like, oh, he's an old geezer. He's an old fuck. He's this. He's that. And he may be, but if it wasn't for him, you know, we wouldn't have a lot of good shit. We wouldn't have a lot of what went on in Mid-South. We wouldn't have a lot of what happened in Smoky Mountain and WWE. He was in WWF at the time when they weren't too good, and he made them pretty good.
Yeah.
And he pushed guys like Yokozuna and Owen Hart and so, guys like that. There's guys, and he fixed Ring of Honor for a little while. The problem with that was, like I mentioned before, he dropped the ball with guys that could have been skyrocketed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing if you're a sports fan too, Dave. I'm sure there's a couple of scouts sitting in some, you know, single-A baseball league in Tulupa, Mississippi, or Tupelo, whatever it's called, and they're watching some pitcher, and he's like, ah, this guy's not going to be anything. And then 2 years later, he's, you know, pitcher for the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, they have the WWE talent scouts going out to, like, random, you know, sporting events, you know, regardless of what country, regardless of, you know, what the sport is, you know. There's always going to be guys that get injuries that can't do the sport anymore, so they bring him into wrestling.
And you know what? And Shining Wizards Tony just sent me a message. He gave us Sonny. I mean, before Sonny was, you know, taking it in the back door and
Smoky Mountain.
You know, yeah. Before she even wanted to do anything, just to hang out with a boyfriend. She was in medical school, pre-med, whatever. You know, again, so he gave us Sonny. Chris Candido. Undertaker. You know, Godfather.
I'm the Master of Pain.
Master of Pain, yeah, he gave us all these guys. He gave us a bunch of guys.
Actually, Hogan gave us the Undertaker.
Well, you know, made his rounds. I mean, he was in Smoky Mountain, he was in USWA and all the other shit, but you know, you get my point. Cornette had some guys. Cornette had one of the greatest technical teams in professional wrestling to the Midnight Express. So okay. Let's see here. Royal Rumble. I haven't spoken to you since the Rumble.
No.
How'd you like it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Actually, I thought it was really good. You know, for considering the last several Royal Rumbles have just been utterly predictable or just absolute garbage. You know, for me, some of the highlights of some of the past Rumbles have really just been, you know, who's going to be the old timer that they bring out.
No old,
you know, as a surprise guest. That's God. Really just been, that's really, really been that all that I've been excited. Like, who's going to be the mystery, selection for the Rumble. And I'm glad that this year they didn't really, you know, focus too much on those guys. And, you know, more of the focus was, like, on, you know, new talent, like AJ Styles. Granted, he's been around for quite a bit. But still, it was just kind of like, well, how is he going to come out? You know, what's his music going to sound like? And everybody loves the theme song now.
That I played, you open it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this Rumble was pretty exciting because, you know, obviously I was one of the guys thinking, like, oh, shit, you know, Roman Reigns is going to win it.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And you know, I know a lot of people are shitting on Triple H for taking the title. I think, honestly, and even Bret Hart is you know, moaning and groaning. But who gives a shit about what he thinks?
Yeah, he's, first of all, I wasn't going to bring that up, but thank God you did. He's dude, he was way off on this one, dude. He was way off.
Yeah, he was totally way off. And you know, I feel Triple H as the champion is like the best person for the job right now. You know, there really isn't too many guys who I really feel can you know, fit those shoes, even though it's I don't know, it seems like it may be coming off like Roman Reigns is going to win the title off of him. Like they're trying to do the underdog story with him and it's not really working.
Well, like I said on the rant,
yeah,
well, first let me talk about AJ Styles for a second. I thought I got to be honest with you. I totally marked out seeing him in the ring, and you know, I did. I liked it.
It was. I want to say that it's long overdue, but I think it's also perfect timing too, because he could still go. They're sorely in need of like top talent, and you know. Third of all, it's like, it's just amazing to see AJ Styles, period, in a WWE ring. Yeah. And I didn't get to see the Jericho match. I heard it, you know, there's a bit miscommunication, but it was still a solid match.
It was solid. It was solid, but
yeah,
it was a good match. And you know what? Jericho held his own in a Rumble too. I listen.
He was the longest guy, right?
Yeah. I want to say it was nice seeing AJ. It was nice seeing him in there. The crowd responded very well to him. I thought he did very well for himself, considering, you know, he was at Ring of Honor 24 hours before that. He really didn't have a chance to mingle with these guys, but he's been around for so long that it didn't make sense for them to send him to NXT, you know?
I'm glad they did. I actually thought that Nakamura was going to be brought onto the main roster. Oh. At least that was what the talk was about.
Yeah.
I feel him going to NXT is a smart idea just because of the reputation that NXT has, and I feel he has like a better chance of being accepted there first before
right.
he moves on.
Yep. But
he's totally, you know, WrestleMania singles match material. You can't deny the man that, but I don't know what his English is like, so I feel creating the buzz for him in NXT first is is a lot more necessary than you know, somebody like AJ Styles, who everybody knows from, you know, just from TNA at the very least. You know, a lot of guys know him from ROH. Some of them, you know, barely remember him from WCW. But the guy's made the rounds. You know, he's earned his reputation.
Listen, and I said this on the Rants pre-show. With the match was great. I knew Triple H was coming back. I knew he was winning the title. And if everybody who complained and pissed and moaned about this happening, what were you going to do with Reigns retaining the title and having no one to fight? I mean, we're going to turn Dean Ambrose. Why would you make Dean Ambrose is so hot? He's white hot. Why don't you make him the champion? It makes no sense if he's the hottest guy. It doesn't make any sense for him to put the belt on him. There's no build. Because he's hot with the crowd, you could give him the belt.
Not just that. You know, he's the Intercontinental champion, and that division,
right,
you know, needs the help. There hasn't really been any great Intercontinental champions.
Right.
That, honestly, that last man standing match was fantastic. I'm surprised that there isn't more people talking about it.
Because everybody's fucking hung up on Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Triple H.
Everybody wants some great wrestling action, but when it happens, nobody wants to talk about
right.
it.
Right. So now Triple H does what's, no pun intended, what's good for business.
Yeah.
He's still in good shape. He's a monster heel when he wants to be. Comes in, says, you know what? You messed up my family. Now I'm taking the belt. Now come after me. And I think it's fantastic. And it makes even more sense because 3 days later, oh, look, Sheamus is in an arm cast. Oh,
yeah.
Look, Alberto Del Rio was hurt. Now everybody's on the fucking shelf. Del Rio, Sheamus, Orton, Cena, Rollins, all of your top guys are on the shelf.
Del Rio was on the shelf.
He got hurt like yesterday or whatever it was. So I don't know how bad the injury is, but he got hurt too.
Whooping cough.
Yeah, saws. Who knows? But again, now all these guys are hurt. What are all the marks going to say now? Ooh, Dean Ambrose, turn Dean Ambrose. You guys have no fucking clue. Like, let's write a story. This is a good story. The big bad authority brings back the game, takes the belt. Now, fuck you. Come get me. You know what I'm saying? I like this. This is good storytelling.
Yeah.
The first time they told a good story in God knows how long.
Whew.
And the marks are like, You guys are
probably
fucking...
Since some of those, like, Shield versus Wyatt's and also Evolution. Like,
save me the fucking... Cry me a river, man. Go fucking... Go outside for a change. Go to 7-Eleven. Go buy a Slurpee or something, you fucking marks. Please.
Buy one of those hot dogs that have been rolling around for the past...
Yeah, go buy yourself a cheeseburger dog or something that's sitting in that roller for 7 hours. Go do that. Go buy a pizza pie they have now for $5. Do something...
Right, they're not that bad.
No, you would say that, Mr. Mega Slam. we'll get into that in a few more minutes. But anyway, there is a nice story being told, and this is pretty cool. I enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy this going to WrestleMania. Fastlane 47 is coming up. They're going to have a number one contender for Triple H at Mania. So obviously Roman Reigns will win that. And if he doesn't win it, and let's say Ambrose wins it, good. Whoever wins that match is going to have a fantastic match with Triple H regardless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So at least we know going into our little party that we're having in a couple of months that the main event's going to be okay, pending nobody gets hurt between now and then. You know what I'm saying?
Pending Triple H doesn't break his rip his quad again.
The game. But no, seriously, fantastic. Fantastic. Passes down in the room. Hello, sir. How are you? Nature boys in the room. What up, Nate?
Woo!
Chat room is on fire tonight, kids.
I'm in the room.
Unsilent majority is in the room.
Hey.
With no microphone. What are you doing?
I'm loud enough. I don't need a microphone.
I know. I'm doing a show. What are you doing?
Putting on my face cream.
Oh, your face cream. Putting ice creams on yourself? So anyway, I have zero issues with this.
Neither do I.
As I slap my wife on the ass on the way out.
Went back earlier this week just to watch Owens and Ambrose again. So
yeah, I like it. I do.
Fantastic match, and you know, for a last man standing match, I gotta say that was just like a flawless attempt. You know, it just showed just how much these guys hated each other, and I didn't even know the story. I just watching that match, I could just tell these guys wanted to kill each other. Ambrose, his selling is on point. You know, this guy could sell anything. He could sell a $50 hot dog from 7-Eleven if he wanted to.
He could sell salt to a slug. He could sell salt to a slug, Mega Powers.
That's why he's dating my girl, apparently. So
that's right.
He could date me, too.
That's
anyway.
Right. Anyway, hello.
Oh.
All right. But Mark Manning won our Royal Rumble contest, and I'm glad he won. Because he got screwed out of being entered last year, so he had number 30.
You know, who the hell would have predicted that?
Yeah, well, we gave him number 30 last Rumble. That was the decision was like the day after. I'm like, and Dave, we fucked up. We didn't put Mark in there. And Dave's like, you know what? We'll make it up to him. I'm like, yeah, we'll give him number 30.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because he entered into the Royal Rumble contest last year, where he apparently forgot him. So it's like, all right, you know, since we forgot him, he gets number 30. That's it.
Yeah. Job is.
And, you know, number 30 doesn't always win. So,
job
is. You know, and as I mentioned on the pre show, it's usually 27, I believe, has like the most.
27 does have the most wins.
Yeah.
Job is in the room. I forgot to say hello. There's a bunch of guys in the room. Thank you guys for turning tonight. Really appreciate it. So, are we going to announce his prize or are we going to wait on that?
No, we can announce it right now.
So, why don't you tell the public, if you will, the public, what Mr. Mark Manning is going to win as his prize for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Royal Rumble contest.
He has won an opportunity to be a special guest booker for an episode, for a future episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. He gets to book whatever the hell we do our throwback on, whatever we talk about. It's whatever he wants us to talk about.
Yep.
Any, whole episode, he's controlling. He's got the pencil.
Any promotion, normally we do 10 years or above, but that can, if you want to do something from 2 years ago, if you want to do Fastlane 4, whatever you want to do, buddy,
there's only been one Fastlane so far. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it just sounds like it's been around forever. Mark, you have the book. That is your prize. You can book a future episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. So hit us up on social media or email us at turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. And I know the time difference. We'd have you on the show, but I know it's kind of late where you are, but you can even come on the show if you want. So
Yeah.
There you go. Congratulations.
It'll be Saturday for him, unless he's working on Saturday.
It'll be Saturday. Hey, you don't know, man. Dude, I used to work. I worked on Saturdays for 10 years, man. All right.
Not for 10 years, though.
Yeah, for 10 years was fucking rough. Okay. So, Dave, why don't you tell the public, if you will, again, your genius plan as part of the festivities for the Black Achiever Awards on Rant EM Radio coming up next month.
All right. You know, one of the ideas that I have for our annual Black Achiever Awards, you know, I decided we got to, you know, spice things up. You know, it's very hard and a very difficult decision to find out who could possibly be the best African athlete of the year for 2016. So I have devised an ingenious plan to have black people fight it out to find out amongst themselves who is the best African athlete. So with February coming upon us, I had a dream.
A Martin Luther King dream?
Yes. Of 8 of the best African athletes competing for this prestigious award. So I have put together the 8 best African athletes that I could possibly imagine. It's a one tournament. One tournament that is going to happen in one night to find out who's going to be the 2016 Best African Athlete Award winner for the Black Achiever Awards on the Rant. And so far, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback. It's a pretty wild tournament. There's been some wild cards in there. And I am pleased to announce the seeding for this year's first annual Martin Luther King of the Ring.
Ah, so you want me to give you a little drum roll? All right.
So the first top seed.
Oh, top seed. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
The well, it's actually a co-top seed. Top number one seeds are. Get the drum roll.
Okay.
No drum roll. There we go. Zeus and the Black Scorpion.
There you go.
Who better than two guys that we talk about the most?
Meanwhile, 4 different guys played the Black Scorpion. And all of them were not black.
How do you know, Phil?
I'm just telling you. I know who played the Black Scorpion. It wasn't a black dude, but okay. Well,
listen,
I'll go with it.
You know, don't be discriminating against, you know, black scorpions.
I'm not discriminating. I'm just telling you that there was no brothers under that mask at any time, you know, during that feud.
You know, I have to disagree. Okay. But anyway, you know, let's agree to disagree. So the Black Scorpion will be in the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament because, you know, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it is a brother underneath the hood.
Okay.
Just because it's a hood doesn't mean it has to be a white guy underneath it, all right?
All right.
Speaking of which, our next seed in the tournament, who I was vastly impressed with his jobber match on NWA WCW, is... Drumroll.
Oh, drumroll again, okay.
Gonna do it for all of them.
Okay.
The Black Assassin. And simply because it was Bill Tabb underneath a black clan hood.
Of course it was.
Automatically gets put into the tournament.
Of course.
Know, for the
of course it was. Of course it was. Yeah, of course.
So our next seed is, drum roll.
Okay.
The 2015 Black Achiever Award winner of the Best African Athlete, Justin Gabriel. All the way from South Africa. absolute silence for that.
What did you say, nigga?
Man's African. He still had a chance to win, and he won.
Oh, man. Pastor wants to know, is Louis Farrakhan the ref of the tournament?
Well, actually, speaking of that, our next seed is also from South Africa.
Okay. Drum roll, please.
All the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, Colonel De Beers. Who has specifically requested that no black referees be involved in any of his matches. And if you know anything about Colonel De Beers, this man is a supporter of apartheid.
It's granted, right here, my nigga.
Granted, it's not still around, but still the man is keeping the heartbeat of apartheid alive and is trying to prove a point by being entered into the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament to prove that black is whack and white is right.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So our next seed for the tournament is,
all right,
OJ. And I'm not talking about OJ Simpson. I'm talking about Orlando Jordan.
Wow.
And you know, if being an African gentleman wasn't, you know, proving a point in this tournament, we also have a gay African gentleman competing in this event. And I'm a little bit shocked myself, but, you know, apparently we're not allowed to discriminate in this tournament. So we have added Orlando Jordan into the tournament. He's a part of it. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he's been doing after TNA.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Speaking of which, our next seed in the tournament is the Nigga Taker.
The who?
The Nigga Taker. You know, as I am a part of this, the committee for selecting talent for the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament, you know, I thought I'd honor some of the dead wrestlers from the past year with a undead wrestler who also happens to be African American for the tournament. And I thought the Nigga Taker would be the perfect athlete, African athlete of that's also happens to be dead to put into the tournament.
What the fuck are you doing? Easy.
So that brings us down to our very last and absolute bottom seed at the tournament. Drum roll, please.
Wait, I think I know who it is.
Who?
I am the King of Bacon.
No.
No? Okay.
He already lost. He couldn't qualify for this one.
Okay, so who is it?
You know, actually, there wasn't going to be a final seed. I didn't know who to pick. There's a lot of great athletes out there, a lot of black talent out there that I couldn't, you know, point my finger and say, hey, this was the last guy in the tournament. And received a cassette demo tape of a bass playing over the week. And I was like, who is this guy? This is pretty good, you know, heavy metal bass. I've never heard this before.
Good going, Dave. You reduced passes of Delta Tears.
And, you know, came along with an 8x10. And I was like, all right, well, first of all, the skin tone matches. All right. You know, that's a good start there. The guy's wearing a mask. So he must be a wrestler. So it's like, all right, you know, this works. And the mask had some like African patterns on it. But the thing that really put me over the top was the name. And the name was Mr. Africa.
Jesus!
Who?
Mr. Africa. And
who in the blue hell is Mr. Africa?
Well, I posted a photo. I posted the 8x10 on our Facebook secret group page. Since I don't know if we'll get in trouble on our standard page.
I want this is our last night on the rant. I'm sure they're gonna kick us off after this. So guys, it's been really fun. Thank you very much for having us.
No, don't say that. This is perfectly fine. There's nothing offensive about it. Phil, you know, take a look on the Facebook page. You know, I'm pretty sure the guy's a talentless hack, so I gave him the bottom seed, and we'll see how he does.
So there you have it, the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament going down the night of the Black Achiever Awards. Dave Mega Powers will be one of the presenters, one of the co-hosts. I'm going to try to do the red carpet like I did last year.
The black carpet.
I apologize, the black carpet. I did a really good job last year, by the way. But I think I'm going to do it this year again. And my wife thinks I'm a closet racist now, but I'm not.
No, you're not. This is perfectly legitimate tournament.
Yeah. But yeah, this is
the finest African athletes.
Yeah,
I want to announce also the first round of matches.
Okay.
So without further ado, the very first I want to keep in mind every match of the tournament is going to be a gimmick match.
Oh Jesus.
So don't get me wrong, everybody's going to have a fair shot in this tournament, but at the very same time, there will be a gimmick for every match in the tournament. I'm going to announce the first round of matches for the Martin Luther King of the Ring 2016 tournament. Very first match, top of the card, having our one of our co-top seeds, Zeus.
Ah.
Going against the Black Assassin in a Battle of the Tough Guys match.
Okay.
If you don't know what a Battle of the Tough Guys match is, you got to watch No Holds Barred.
Bond? Then we get him to break his bond. What's his price? That's what I want to know. What's his price?
Yep.
And by the way, besides the rant, we're also going to be televising the tournament live on the WTN, the World Television Network. So the next match in the tournament, let me take a look here. The next match is actually going to be we're going to go for a good old casket match with Justin Gabriel going against the Nigga Taker, defending his 2015 Best African Athlete Award winning, Pookie Award winning title there. Nature Boy says Turnbuckle Throwbacks is canceled in 3, 2, 1. And speaking of which, the next match in the tournament is going to be a Loser Leaves Africa match, where Colonel De Beers is going to be facing Orlando Jordan.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
And the final match of the first round of the tournament, Mask versus Match, Mask versus Mask. The Black Scorpion, the other top seed, is going against the bottom seed, Mr. Africa. So there you have it, folks. Keep in mind this contest is being played under fantasy warfare rules. You book the tournament as you see fit. Whoever has the best entry, their tournament is going to be played out throughout the Black Achiever Awards, and whoever they choose to win the tournament is going to be the 2016 Black Achiever Best African Athlete Award winner.
All right, and if we still have jobs on this network, you could tune into the Black Achiever Awards next month. I know Tony C will be hosting, Surfer will be protesting, Double A running the board. I'm sure we'll have Scott. We'll have a bunch of people. I'm sure Rick from Talk Brunch. Mega Powers will be one of the hosts too. So check that out, and as well as the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament.
The tournament will be happening exclusively in Sun City, South Africa.
Getting a text from our own Black Hammer, Tony C. And he says, and I quote, "The nigga taker, I love it."
Yes.
Soul Brother number one, Tony C, a.k.a. Black Hammer, a.k.a. my East Boon Coon, a.k.a. the co-host of Rant EM Radio, of Rant EM Radio's The Rant on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m.
So, yes, send your entries to either me or our email address, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com.
Well, rantemradio@gmail.com. Sure, AA wants to see all that hate mail.
Yeah, I'm sure he does, too.
So do all that and send that over.
So have fun with it. Have a good laugh.
Yeah.
You know, put a lot of effort into this fantastic tournament. Yeah. So, you know, put your brains to work so we can have an entertaining and fun Black Achiever Awards for 2016.
We have a kick-ass throwback for you, but before we go to the throwback, take a break. I want to present something to Dave. Dave did not listen to the rant on Tuesday night. He was mentioned quite often in the first 30 minutes of the show. The board of directors at Rant EM Radio, this is before we had, this is while we still have jobs, got together and they didn't really give AA like an ultimatum, but they told AA that the network needs to do something really big this year after WrestleMania. Because between all the stuff, the roundtables, and after WrestleMania, we kind of cool off a little bit. And we had such a great summer last year. The Rant wants to do something big. So I want to play this for Dave because Dave has not heard it. And then we'll get his reaction, and then we'll go to break. I'm only going to play, it's like 20 minutes, so I'm only going to play a couple minutes of it. So just check this out. This is from last week's Rant.
We're contemplating doing something big that I think has to be revisited. It was a big thing that we did last year, and we might have to revisit it this year. I'm breaking the news right now, as you know, and this is the first we have a private page where we talk about staff stuff, where I release, you know, schedules and whatever. But this is something that I'm springing upon everybody right now for the first time. And Phil, Phil is listening. You might want to listen carefully. I feel, and so does the board, you know, the suits and ties of this network. The championship committee, the executive committee, the people that really push the buttons on this network.
Oh man.
Have come to an agreement that we feel there should be Mega Slam 2. And I'm saying this now only because if the parties agree to a rematch, now would be the time to start training. We will open the channels of negotiation now and promote the event much like we did last year, but this time with a lot more build. This time, 8 months out.
This time it counts.
This time we're going to call it Mega Slam 2 Redemption. And we're going to see if something can be done to, I guess,
entice,
you know, a good audience here on the network, because we enjoyed Mega Slam this past August, and I think it's only fitting that there should be a rematch. So,
I think White Lightning wouldn't have an issue with is Ray's being a puss.
Well, but wait a minute, this is why we're announcing this now. So it's breaking news as we speak. Mega Slam 2 if both parties agree, will happen this August. And we'll plan it out. Phil is telling me Dave has retired. But we could always coax Dave out of retirement. So let's... But this could make it interesting. The defending champion, retired. Can he come in? Can he come out of retirement? And... What is it with you lately in noises, Surfer? You've been doing this on all these shows lately.
Something automatic went off that I did not do.
You pushed something.
No, I didn't push anything.
You opened something.
It was a browser already open.
Anyways. So, there we go. I'm putting it out there. I'm gonna
come
let
on,
the,
White Lightning.
I'm gonna
let, put some hustle behind this muscle.
I'm gonna let the parties stew on it. Okay? Let's just put it that way. We're gonna let the parties stew on it. Answers are not needed right now. Rage is already calling in, and I'm not gonna answer. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm not gonna answer. Because Rage will just make a rash decision. Okay? And Rage will be on the air.
Better be calling
hours.
In and apologize to me.
Okay. You got the shtick of it. Now, the call goes a little more. I actually called in to tell everybody that I didn't think Dave was interested anymore because Dave has really nothing to prove. Dave called out Rage after the Castle Slam debauchery. Dave went on the Intrepid on the 4th of July in the gayest of clothes, and he and he called out Rage. Rage accepted.
And reluctantly,
and we had ourselves a grand old time. However, what we didn't realize was is that it made for amazing radio, and it made for amazing audio. If you go to the Rant YouTube channel, the Rant YouTube channel, just look up Mega Slam, take the volume off of it, and just play the Mega Slam audio from the pre-show of SummerSlam from this past August. Now, it's again, Dave. It's I'm not telling you. I think you're good. I think you don't have to do anything. I think you've done your due diligence. You took one for the team. You went above and beyond anything that was asked of you, and you rightfully came in here, said what you were going to do. Told everybody you were going to win, and you won. And you won in a good fashion. You took your time, and you trained, and you defeated Rage, and it was fantastic. The Decadome was electric last summer. It was, Josh. So, the public wants to know. The Rant wants to know. On certain terms, can the Mega Powers come out of retirement and do Mega Slam 2 Electric Boogaloo? That's what I'm calling it. I'm just not about anybody else, but can the Mega Powers on obviously it would have to be on your terms, and it would have to be bigger than this, and of course you'd have to get compensated more, not just by some plastic belt that my son made for you. But you have to get compensated, and there's been talk, and this is legit, there's been talk of money, there's been talk of a title belt, there's been talk of trophies. I'm not going to lie to you, I advocated for that, because I feel like if you're going to go out of your way and come out of retirement, you should be compensated, and well. So, we're asking, could there be a possibility that we get Mega Powers come out of retirement?
You know, Phil, I agree with all the above, except that I am completely 100% retired. So there's going to not be a rematch.
Okay. So you guys heard it. Mega Powers is not coming back. He's retired. If there was anything, they would want to have it hammered out by WrestleMania, and we would announce it on our WrestleMania show, which is 2 o'clock that day, by the way.
Though I want to propose an alternative.
Whoa, wait a second. You want to propose an alternative? What was this?
Absolutely, yeah.
Is this breaking news? Hold on. I never get to use this drop. I love it.
Well, it's not really breaking news because I already posted it up on Facebook and nobody replied to it. So I guess in a way it kind of is breaking news, but I already put it up there. But I'm going to throw it out there. Because I know I know this wasn't a championship committee's decision. I know this wasn't thought out by several individuals. I know this was put together by one person. And that one person does have a unique relationship with my challenger. And I'm putting it out there, you know, plain and simple. You know, whether he chooses to accept this this idea or not, it's, you know, entirely up to him. You know, he can disappoint as many listeners as he wants to. But, you know, I think instead of me, I think it really should be Double A who's challenging Rage to Mega Slam 2. Mm. Father versus son, even though they're not really related.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's your suggestion?
That's my suggestion. You know, do what you will. I know, you know, while this was going on, you know, the main hype man, besides myself, was Double A.
Well,
he was the one that couldn't wait. He was, you know, his mouth was watering more than mine was for that pizza. His mouth was watering to see Rage be destroyed by me. So I'm just saying, hey, maybe the boss should be the one that goes as a cross, you know, goes against Rage. Because Rage has, you know, crossed the boss on many a time. So I think it really should be Double A versus Rage at Mega Slam 2.
Okay, so there you have it. Mega Powers is not going to partake in Mega Slam 2. Again, you know, there's plenty of time. I'm not saying you have to make a decision now, but it's been put out to the universe.
And judging by the people in the chat room is thinking what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yep. I'm just saying, you know, there's an audience that's 100% behind me.
Yeah, we need some more input on social media. Don't just put it in the chat room. If you guys feel that strongly about it, then put it on the Rants page, put it on Turnbuckle Throwbacks page, and all that happy horse shit. All right, I think we've done
it. Hey, I booked the Martin Luther King of the Ring. I'm sure I can, you know, book a pretty damn good Mega Slam Part 2, especially since I booked Mega Slam in the first place.
Again, you have nothing to prove, Mega Powers. You're absolutely right. Okay. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, play some spots, come back, and we have a kick-ass throwback for you, my peoples. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on Rant EM Radio. And we's be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and of course all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different t-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace!
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android. Or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, The Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
Hey, it's Mike from The Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with The Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Bad 80s wrestling theme music for you,
or good wrestling 80s theme music if you think like I do.
Yeah, we love the 80s music here. That was actually the theme of tonight's throwback. You can believe that?
Oh, I can believe it.
Of course you can. Ladies and gentlemen, what's that?
I watched it.
I hope so. It's part of your job for the show.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live on Rant EM Radio. Chat room is hopping tonight.
Yeah.
And there's not even snow on the floor. Thank you. We seldom get a chat room like this, man. This is a blessing. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Been very vocal, especially with tonight's news.
Yeah. I want to seriously, though, all joking aside, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We know it's Friday night.
Listen, you could be anywhere in the world, regardless of age, regardless of what your background is. You could be doing anything, anywhere, at any time.
But you chose to be here. We appreciate that.
It's a matter of choice, and that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. I had something else I wanted to ask you, and I forgot to write it down, so it'll have to wait until 2 weeks because I will not be here next week. The Mega Powers will be here next week in some capacity. Either be live or it'll be a podcast. But Mega Powers will be here next week as he'll be running the show. And he will be opening up Black History Month, as we always do with Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
No, it's funny. For all the podcasts that are covering wrestling and all that, like, there's nobody but us that covers the entire month of February for Black History Month.
No. Coverage for the Super Bowl 50 kicks off next Sunday, live at 4 p.m. with your man, the Surfer, the man, the myth, the legend. He'll be
me
doing,
and my man.
Well, he's our boy, so. And I don't mean that in a facetious, racist kind of way.
Not in a Harley racist way.
Nah, we love Surfer. And he does a very good job on the Super Bowl coverage. I will be in the Sunshine State, so I'll be calling in. Actually, we'll be calling. If you guys do something live next week, I'll be calling in from location, so I'm not going to be told right before I get inebriated.
Maybe you'll be hanging out with Tony C.
Well, I'll be like 2 hours away from Tony C. I'm hoping I told Double A to come up for my family's party, so maybe he'll take the drive up because we have a
huge. You can actually see what he looks like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know what Double A looks like. I just want to see him in person, give him a nice hug, and thank him.
I don't know what he looks like.
That sucks for you, then. I just want to thank him in person eventually. And if not, I'll see them in April when I go back down there for vacation. So next...
I don't even know what Surfer looks like, and you saw him, too.
Oh, I hung out with Surfer. He's the goods, man. Surfer is the man. So that's all you need to know. You can get to meet Surfer eventually. Should come to Comic-Con this year, with us.
If he doesn't get the free pass, then yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Scott's saying to promote a show. What show? Oh, all right, next week he won the Rants contest last year to do their programming, so he's doing something. No, he won the Star Wars contest, so he's doing something. I don't know what the content's going to be, but he told me to promote, so we're promoting Scott's show as well. I think he's doing it next week. I'm not sure.
What's the name of Scott's show?
I have no idea. I know he won the contest. I know he's doing it.
Scott, give us some more details, for God's sake.
Yeah. Please. You know. Everybody wants to be part of the show, so you're in. Okay. What else is going on? Tomorrow night, episode 301 of the Wrestling Call-In Show, Mr. Will I Am Morgan. I think he's having some kind of women's wrestler on there. I'm not sure. Of course, Sunday, what are you reading, comic book show? Oh, Scott says February 14th, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day at 3:30? Oh, your wife.
Really?
Wow. If I did a podcast on Valentine's Day, I'd be fucking divorced. Huh. But, yeah. Anyway.
Especially at 3:30.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not taking calls tonight, Scott. So, no, we're not taking calls to promote your podcast.
Promote your shitty show another night.
No, it's not shitty. We're just not taking calls. But yeah, put it on a Facebook page and do all that due diligence. And then, of course, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, 5 p.m. Sunday with Surfer and Jordan Cobb. And then you got a whole new programming week of the Rant, starting with Talk Brunch. So check out those cats and all their happy horse shit. Anyway, and of course, New Shining Wizards came out this week. So go do that. And anyway. That's pretty much it. I didn't write anything down, so I'm totally not with it. You ready for our throwback tonight, partner?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it. And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio. All right. So, we're kicking it back to February 20th of 1989. It's a good year for me, actually, for reasons that I can't talk about on this podcast right now. But February 20th, 1989, 8,000 people at the UIC Pavilion in Chicago, Illinois. Chi-town.
Windy City.
The Windy City.
Home of RoboCop. No, that's Detroit.
That's
bad.
Detroit, yeah. WCW, well, it wasn't WCW, the National Wrestling Alliance, Jim Crockett Promotions, present the Chi-Town Rumble. Good stuff. This was a good, good card. I enjoyed this a lot.
I'm kind of lukewarm about this one. I like the second half better than the first half.
Yeah. Your main event, I mean, there was a couple of feuds going on. We'll get into that in a few minutes. I mean, there were a lot of good storylines building up. The main one, obviously, with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, which...
Absolutely, yeah.
Which anytime you see them wrestle was great.
These guys, you know, they're one of the few guys who, like, if you really look at it, like, it seems like they have, like, the same match every time, but that same match is so fucking good.
Yes, it is. It most certainly is. Now, I took upon myself to get some clips. I can play them if needed, but maybe I don't know if we're going to have any time. You just want to go through the card. I have a couple of clips from WCW Saturday Night. Because they had a St. Valentine's Day Massacre Clash of Champions right before this happened. And it wasn't...
That Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, it wasn't really... And a lot of the stuff was, but they had a couple of promos. We don't have to play them. We can just go into it. It doesn't really a big deal, but there was some, I have a couple clips here. So, you know what? We could play a few of them, if you don't mind. So
absolutely, yeah. We haven't played any promos on the show for a while.
I know, I know. 1 hour 17, 50. I have to do this first one. I'm going to play them in order of the matches because they're scattered all over the place. So anyway. All right. So obviously Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat was the main rivalry. Flair had just beaten Lex Luger at Starrcade to retain the title. Steamboat defeated Flair in a 2 out of 3 falls match to retain the title. I mean, it was just a back and forth thing. Barry Windham was U.S. heavyweight champion. Now, here's the thing, and I had this thing with Lee going on the other day on Facebook. At this point, Arn and Tully were up north as the Brainbusters.
Yeah.
Hiro Matsuda purchased the contracts from Dylan of Lex and Barry Windham and Ric Flair. And he bought the contract of Butch Reed and Kendall Windham.
Yes.
None of them were horsemen.
No.
Okay. So get it out of your fucking heads. None of them were horsemen.
Never.
Right. And it was just like a Japanese stable. And we'll hear from Ric Flair in a few minutes. But it wasn't even like it was just a business agreement, according to Ric Flair. It wasn't a thing where they were a horseman, they weren't a team. It was just whatever the case may be. So your first match was Michael Hayes against Russian Assassin 1 with number one Paul Jones. Now, Russian Assassin 1, who was one of the people who played the Black Scorpion, but we don't know, but Dave doesn't know that. But
the Russian Assassin is white. There's no possible way he could be a black assassin.
Rest in peace, Dave Shelton. You were one of the people who played Black Scorpion. But
you know, the Russian Assassin was the Angel of Death, and
he was the Angel of Death. Rest in peace, Dave. Dave
funny Shelton. Enough, you know, here's a little history for you. If you don't recall, I don't know if we mentioned it on the Bruiser Brody episode, but opponent awaiting Bruiser Brody from his return from Puerto Rico was actually the wrestler by the name of the Angel of Death.
Yes, but it wasn't him, though. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was him? Right. Yeah. Then we did mention him then.
David Sheldon.
We did, yeah. David. So, yeah, he died in 2007. So, all right, but he's fighting Michael. He's fighting Michael Hayes. Michael Hayes was the face at this point, and he was hanging out with Sting and the Junkyard Dog. So let's take you out of Michael Hayes real quick.
DDT, it surely does work, fans. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been unpredictable this hour, and I'm surrounded by a lot of beef here, gentlemen, a lot of big events coming your way. A
lot of things, and you got to be on top to stay on top. But you know, I want to make something clear. I ain't Elvis Presley, and I ain't Frank Sinatra, but if I want to get something done, baby, I do it my way, because I am Michael P.S. Hayes, the showstopper.
Nothing sexier and nothing hotter.
Michael, I want to say this. You guys are going to have a big match. February 15th in Cleveland, you're going to go for the 6-man tag team championships of the world. 10 ruin the Road Warriors. What are your thoughts on that?
Who made 6-man tag team what it is today?
One answer, the Fabulous Freebirds. What's J.Y., big title on the line. A Japanese and the Road Warriors.
Well, you like to sit down in the jungle deep there, set 3 bad monkeys sitting at the dog's feet. But I said time and
3
time
bad
again,
monkeys.
Every dog needs a bunk. And we got ourselves some balls, baby.
Singer, February 15th in Cleveland. Bert, few comments here from you.
You know, Rossi, I was telling you a little while ago about losing my composure. Well, the Road Warriors made me lose my composure one day.
Yeah, so they're all hot for their matches coming up, but they're all three of them are involved in this thing. JYD was, I don't think JYD was on the card, but he was there. I know that.
He was supposed to be in the 6-minute tag match. And what was it? They got barricaded by Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, this is before Hazy 9 heel turn when he was the U.S. champion, which I loved him that with him and Lex. This was a pretty bad match though. For Michael Hayes, anyway.
Oh my God, this match went on forever.
I know, like 10 minutes, like it was over 10 minutes.
No, it went for 15.
15,
minutes.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, Hayes comes. The Russian Assassin had a chin lock for like 45 minutes, and then Hayes came back with a few moves, hit him with a bulldog suplex and a DDT, and it just was awful. It was just a bad match. And
yeah, normally, I thought it was funny. You know, Magnum TA was showing how good of an announcer he was. Like, he was really
selling it. Yeah.
Yeah. He was really selling it. He was giving some credit to the Russian assassin. He's like, the size and strength goes to the Russian assassin. And I'm like, really? The guy's clearly going to be doing the job tonight. But, you know, granted, he did have some size and strength on him. But, you know, I felt this match just went on way too long. There was no real momentum. It wasn't a hot opener, you know, for the card. My energy level watching this was completely down. Like, I'm pretty sure when I was watching this, like, I was ready to go to sleep after this match. It was that bad. But, you know, Russian assassin trying to go for the backdrop. Of course, Michael P.S. Hayes, being the wily vet that he is, uses the opportunity for the DDT and gets the three count.
Yeah. And I didn't mind him as a face. I'd just rather him as a heel, you know.
Yeah.
At that point in time. All right.
Not just as a heel, but as a tag guy.
As a tag guy. Like, he was,
kind of felt as a singles wrestler. He wasn't really, I don't want to say he was the worst, because obviously there's much worse than him out there. But I just kind of feel like these guys didn't really have that much chemistry. They couldn't really get it together. And, you know, regardless of their acumen, it was just a bad match.
And I mentioned on the show a few times that I thought that his U.S. title run was pretty cool, though. I enjoyed that for the short run he had. And him and Lex Luger had a nice little program. I mentioned that actually a few times on the show. It went too long. Like Dave said, 15 minutes and 48 seconds. It was fucking...
A lot of the opening matches for this event just went too long.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't until like the second half, again, just in my opinion, like things really picked up and were... was much more well-paced and, you know, better thought out.
Yeah, the next match went longer than that, and it didn't have to. But, I mean, again, I see where they're coming from because they had to kill time.
There was only 7 matches for this event, too.
Yeah, I know. That's probably why they went
for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Anyway, Sting taking on the...
Sting,
yeah. Oh, where's my fucking soundboard here?
Come on, he's Martin Luther King the Ring Tournament.
Sting!
Sting taking on the Hacksaw Butch Reed. I love Butch Reed, man. I loved Butch Reed back in the day. He was awesome.
The Yamazaki?
The Yamazaki Corporation, yes. Ran by Hiro Matsuda. Let's hear from the Stinger now as he talks to JR about his big matches coming up.
Welcome to World Championship Wrestling here on Superstation TBS. I thought it might settle down a little bit, but no, it certainly won't. Hacksaw Butch Reed, Chicago, February 20th.
February 20th, you know, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it in the fashion that I would like to. You know why, Rusty? Because Butch Reed has come out, he's given me an invitation to do just that. But I want him to come out here on the air. The next time, Butch, you get some airtime, come out and say something nasty about the Stinger. Example, maybe you could come out and say, Stinger, I don't like your haircut, man. I'm bigger than you, I'm better than you, and I'm going to beat you up because I don't like them little kids that paint their face. Whatever you want to say, just do something. Make it nasty. Make me lose my composure, kind of like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat just did to the Nature Boy just moments ago. Woo! He lost his composure, and it was fun. That's the way we like it to be in the NWA.
Well, fans, we talk about wild and crazy. Wild and crazy. What you're going to have here in tag?
Nah, that's Sting being angry.
Yeah.
Like, say something bad about me. Ted Turner said Sting was always a lousy promo. He had charisma, at least. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into the match. You know, Jim Ross doing his soup bone references in reference to Butch Reed.
Butch Reed's punches, anytime a black guy was hitting somebody, was always soup bones.
Soup bones or ham hocks. Fucking racist. Ring the bell for JR.
By the way, I got my own bell tonight, too. I forgot.
All right, Mega Powers contributing to the show. It only took you 3 years. Good for you, buddy.
I've had the bell, but you've had yours, so I don't want to, you know.
gimmick infringement? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Even though you got it from Opie and Anthony, but anyway.
Everybody got it from Opie and Anthony. It was a Stern thing. It was actually a Dave Herman thing back in the day before Stern. So
there you go.
Everybody had the gimmick radio bell. Hello, what's your favorite naked teen station? Anyway. another 17-minute chin lock in this match.
Oh, God.
It was another placeholder match until Sting got the TV title in March.
It was still better than the Michael Hayes Wrestling Assassin number one match.
Yeah. Reed, like I mentioned, is managed by Hiro Matsuda, the guy who took over JJ's contracts, who left for the WWF. Reed badly blows a clothesline spot if you've seen that. Missing Sting and got tumbled.
Oh, yeah, and he flies out of the ring.
Flies out of the ring, yeah. It looked really awkward, too, man. Sting's having trouble.
It just seemed like there was a complete miscommunication. Maybe like he just like heard the wrong thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. Reed does everything from hair pulling, tights, you know, that kind of thing. Sting
every cheap heel gimmick, period.
Yep. Sting makes the Superman comeback, but Reed tosses him onto the apron. Sting sunset flips him back in. Reed holds the ropes and gets a quick two. Peanut head Teddy Long doing the refereeing for this match, ironically. Breaks the hold on the ropes, and Sting finishes with a sunset flip for three. Sting is crazy over, but 20 minutes, dude. Oh, 20.
I don't know about 20 minutes over, but...
Yeah, 20 minutes is way too fucking long. 20 minutes and 7 seconds.
Yeah, this was it. Recently, I watched his... It wasn't his debut match on NWA WCW, but they showed like the first mention of him on NWA WCW, and the match was just like a minute and change. And I'm like, kind of felt like that's maybe not like a minute and change for Butch Reed, but this match had a good 7 minute time limit in my eyes.
The next match is fun. The next match I enjoyed watching. The loser leaves NWA. The Midnight Express teaming up with Jim Cornette versus the Midnight Express and Paulie Dangerously. Well, not quite the Midnight Express. Dennis Condrey was fired, apparently.
No, he was on vacation.
He was on vacation, but technically he was fired for no showing. He no showed a bunch of matches, and he got in storyline he was on vacation, but in reality he was fired actually. So Jack Victory, who apparently he was a Russian assassin in the opening match. It wasn't Dave,
but really,
that's what I'm reading. I don't know if it's true or not. But
well, this guy seemed more out of shape, so I could see that.
Right. So we have a quick little promo from Jim Cornette and Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton and Midnight Express taking out of Jim Ross.
When I did, I thought he could be considered the rotten fruits of his mother's labor. Would you not agree with that?
I think he's a rotten fruit, all right. As a matter of fact, I'll admit that he's a fruit, period. Let me tell you, Paulie Dangerously, he's got this whole thing built up to where it's a high noon showdown, where it's gunfight at the OK Corral between me and him. This is Chi-Town Rumble. This is Chicago, the Windy City. It's the home of Prohibition, the Roaring Twenties, Al Capone, Elliot Ness, the Untouchables. Hey! Did you ever watch The Untouchables on TV?
All the time.
Late that night, in the Southside Chicago apartment of Frank Nitti, Al Capone's gangland enforcer, Paulie Dangerously and his band of cutthroats were plotting the demise of Jim Cornette and his Untouchables. Little did they know that Cornette and his men had already plotted to send them up the river. That's where you're going to be, Paulie Dangerously. You're going to be taking a ride up the river. No, wait. You're going to have a cement overcoat on, and you're going to be in the river. Because it's going to be like the Untouchables meeting Capone's mob. When I open up my violin case, I'm going to have a tennis racket. When you open up your violin case, you're going to have a telephone. And the collision is going to come. The clash is going to come. And the guy who gets pinned is going to leave the NWA forever. And there must be a winner. So I want you to remember, Paulie, what kind of stakes you got. And I want you to remember this too, Paulie Dangerously. I guarantee you this. Your day has come, because you think you're going to be the one to come in here and take Jim Cornette's job, brother. You're far from being right. You're sadly mistaken, and as far as beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan goes, everybody knows that they're the real Midnight Express. All evil men's time must come. Capone died a broken man. Hitler blew his brains out. They fried Ted Bundy 2 weeks ago, and Paulie
You're next. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it is.
And that's the way it is. Stan Lane had a fucking overcoat on and some purple Terminator-looking glasses. He was so 80s.
Too 80s for his own good.
He was so 80s, Jimmy Cornette. But this match was pretty good.
It wasn't too bad. It was starting, like, you know, for me, it was like warming up the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So now Jack Victory has become an original member of the Midnight Express.
Of the original Midnight Express. Cornette gets involved every time a double team. There was one spot where Eaton holds Randy Rose and Cornette gets a shot, and then Rhodes holds Lane for Dangerously, but Lane reverses it and Paulie nails his own man, which is pretty cool. Eaton took a sick Brian Pillman-esque bump to the steel rail to become immortalize Ricky Morton. If you guys get that irony. Paulie, of course, gets his shots in. Cornette tags in and calls out Dangerously, but gets sucker punched. They go back and forth. Lane gets the hot tag, which the Midnight Express were the innovators of fucking hot tags. Beats up on Victory, but he gets sucker punched as well, and everyone gets beat on. A nice, healthy Paulie sucks chant from the crowd. Randy Rose does his worst impression of Stan Lane I've ever seen. Eaton gets the hot tag, hits Victory with a sweet missile drop kick for the big pop, then forces the tag Paulie for a bigger pop. Cornette throws in and gets some stiff right hand and a nice clothesline compared to Lex Luger's clothesline. It's better than Lex Luger's clothesline. And then a PS6 brawl erupts. Sweet Stan gets a two count after a miss from Randy Rose. The original Midnights get control, but a collision allows the real Midnights to hit the flapjack on Randy Rose and get the pin.
Yes.
So I thought that was pretty fucking cool.
I thought it was cool that it was like a six-man tag, you know, Cornette getting and trying to get his comeuppance on Paulie Dangerously was a big pop throughout the match. And, you know, I love Cornette's, attire for this match, you know, just wearing the elbow pads all over the place and the full body, tights. Just absolutely ridiculous. Paulie Dangerously wearing his... I don't even know how to explain that outfit. It's just kind of like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, but kind of...
It was typical 80s outfits, man.
Yeah, it was just so 80s. It was just drenched in 80s.
Yeah,
you know? Stan Lane, it was kind of
a little envious on
his end of the ring.
The big sweatshirts, the fucking... the stonewashed baggy jeans and a cuff at the bottom. Sometimes they wore slouch socks, but the girls wore slouch socks, but the guys thought they were cool. And everybody had a mullet, Mega Powers.
Yeah.
Everybody had a mullet. All right.
You couldn't be in this match unless you had a mullet, unless you were Jim Cornette.
The next match has a little more meaning to me because I actually got the backstory. Kevin Sullivan was on Colt Cabana's podcast last year. And if you have not yet heard Kevin Sullivan on any podcast, whether it be Shining Wizards or Colt Cabana or anybody, Kevin Sullivan is a plethora of knowledge. The man is one of the smartest dudes ever in wrestling, and he was the force behind the Varsity Club, which is one of the best factions in wrestling ever. At one point, you had world-class, real collegiate athletes like Rick Steiner, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Mike Rotunda. All those guys participated and excelled in their respected universities, and they were all top guys. Sullivan started a stable of all these guys, like pompous jocks, and it was over. Now, Rick Steiner, this is pre-Steiner Brothers, but Scotty had just gotten into the company, so Scotty was with him at ringside. Rick Steiner and Mike Rotunda, or Rotundo, or Captain Mike, or VK Wall Street, whatever. No, it was Mike Rotunda at this point. They swapped the World TV title. Steiner was in the Varsity Club, but he was so over with the fans that Sullivan was, when he started getting an influence on the booking committee, got them to turn Steiner face. So when I saw this match, this was the turn. Well, this wasn't the actual turn this night, but this led up to him being a face at this point. It was Sullivan who broke Steiner away and said, you should do this, and then you should be with your brother, and it made perfect sense. Rick Steiner was reluctant at first, but then obviously reaped all the benefits because the Steiners went on to become the fucking one of the best tag teams in pro wrestling. So Rick Steiner defending against Mike Rotundo. He won the belt from Rotundo in Starrcade, and it was really cool. Rick had an imaginary friend, Alex, if you remember him.
The Hand.
The Hand, which was predated by Mr. Sacco, at least by a decade, right?
Wait, wasn't there something on Pee Wee's Playhouse with just the Hand?
Oh, one of the characters, yeah. Pee Wee's come out with a new movie, by the way, on Netflix. It's in March, Pee Wee's Big Holiday. Mm. Anybody who's a Pee Wee Herman fan should go get that. It's going to be really fun. Good scientific match, though, Mega Powers. The match is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I felt with this pay-per-view, like, with each match, like, the card was just getting better and better. This one was pretty good. I love the Varsity, the Varsity, I'm going to start over again, too much whiskey. Varsity Club. Varsity Club was fantastic. Rick Steiner, Dr. Death, Mike Rotunda, Kevin Sullivan. I always found it so strange that Kevin Sullivan was a part of this, that he was the mastermind behind it.
Right, yeah, but it made perfect sense.
Yeah.
When you listen to him talk about it, like I said, it's amazing. Anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he made it completely work.
Yep.
I thought it was, obviously Rick Steiner at the time was playing like the kind of like the retard gimmick or mentally challenged, whatever you want to call it. And
you could say retard, Dave.
Yeah. Because I know you got in trouble. But anyway, I thought it was pretty funny that, Kevin Sullivan was coming out and, you know, he let Rick Steiner know, like, hey, we got your dog in the back. I don't know what the story was behind the dog, but he mentioned, like, hey, we're going to, you know, do something horrible to your dog. And
yeah, Sullivan wanders out, notices that Steiner has a very nice dog in the back, and Rick is distracted by it, and Rotundo takes advantage of a backdrop suplex.
The sleeper.
He distracted him, and then Rotundo takes advantage, and he has a backdrop suplex. Rick comes back with a sleeper, but ultimately his stupidity. Tell him what happens, Dave.
Well, he has a sleeper hold on Mike Rotundo, and falls back, and decides to keep the sleeper hold on. And similar style to Rowdy Piper versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania 8, Mike Rotundo gets the pin on Rick Steiner because his shoulders are on the mat while he's got the sleeper hold on him.
And that's how. And then both guys celebrate like they got the win. But Rotundo had some color.
Yeah,
Rick busted him up. So. It's a good match, you know. It was nice.
Yeah, it was a pretty solid match. Always whenever like a team breaks up like this, it's always kind of hard to recreate that chemistry, especially having these guys like face each other. You know, sometimes when tag teams break up or factions break up and they're facing each other, like it doesn't always have the same magic as when, the team. When the team itself was together. So I felt this worked out all right. You know, kind of gave it was the first of the rest of the card being like all kind of like, I don't want to say dusty finishes, but it was the first of many finishes that were just kind of like, you think it's going one way, but it actually goes another way. So, but we'll cover that with the next matches coming up.
Yes, the next match is for the United States Heavyweight Championship.
Which has a similar ending.
That's right. Big Barry Windham taking on a total package. Lex Luger. Lex had some words. Magnum TA on WCW Saturday Night. And let's take it now to Magnum TA with the total package, who also has Terminator glasses on.
Tremendous move by the Midnight Express fans.
As the Midnight when Express wrap up their jobber match.
Magnum TA will be joined by the Total Package Lex Luger. And we'll be back with that very important interview right after you see this.
Total Package is a man certainly used to being in the hot seat. So I'm going to put you in the hot seat right now and ask you a few questions. You know, Ric Flair has gone on record as saying he's never going to wrestle the Total Package again. But I happen to know that you've got the U.S. Heavyweight title really in your sights now. So if, by chance, the U.S. title around your waist, how can he help but recognize the number one contender, the U.S. heavyweight champion, as a title competitor?
That's exactly how I see it, Magnum. It's a very astute observation. You see, Ric Flair, I've had a lot of legal obstacles in my way since our last match. You won't give me a rematch. Apparently, you have a select list of who you wrestle and who you won't. Well, I know one thing. He's got a big match coming up with Ricky Steamboat. And I know if he becomes champion, I know he has every attribute necessary to become the next World Heavyweight Champion. I won't have to be in a not wrestle list. He'll wrestle everybody, Flair. That's something you're not doing right now. So if I do beat Barry Windham on February 20th, as U.S. title holder, does automatically make me the number one contender to the world's title.
Well, there's one more thing you've got to realize. You've got to beat the man. You've got to beat Windham. How can you defense the superplex, the lariat, and the claw?
Well, Barry has a lot of offensive weapons. I just saw a very impressive display by him. But one thing's for sure, I've become a student of wrestling. I've watched him on film many, many times. I'm prepared for this match as I ever have been. And what I'm going to do is wrestle the match of my life and hopefully become the winner.
Thank you very much, Lex, for your time. We've got a big match coming up here in the ring, a workout of sorts, Jim Ross.
We certainly do, Magnum. Fans, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, as he prepares for the match of his life in Chicago.
All right. See her from the total package. Not bad.
You know, a lot of people are not a big fan of Lex Luger's, promo skills, but I always felt he was just kind of straight to the point, no nonsense. What you see is what you get. And
he wasn't the worst, but I mean, not one of my favorites at all.
No.
This was like...
Not too many people are quoting Lex Luger promos outside of...
No, that's...
T-shirts too tight, Billy.
Yeah, something like that. That's why I'm not a big... I'm not a big fan. I'm not a Lex Luger guy anyway, so you really can't count me into that conversation. Because I can't be... I try to be unbiased. I try to be unbiased when it comes to certain guys. Lex Luger for me was just like... Because the more you read about him being a dick, the more I can't appreciate any of it. And he's been in some really good stuff. Don't get me wrong. I just think that
every match that he's had with Ric Flair was phenomenal.
Like I mentioned before, the Michael Hayes thing and Barry Windham. This was the much delayed blow off match from Windham's Horseman turn a year ago prior to this. Luger goes apeshit beginning of the match. They go back and forth. It was Windham takes a swing at Luger at one point and hits the ring post. Quote unquote.
With the claw hand.
Right. With the claw hand, breaking his hand, which Windham blades for an added effect if you saw that. And now,
yeah. I'm not sure if it was him actually blading the hand or because he actually juiced Luger during the match.
Yeah, no, I think he bladed because you saw like an adjustment because he tried to get his claw hold, but he couldn't get it on because he was playing it off like he was, playing like he was injured, but I think he actually bladed it. I think he bladed it too good because I think he fucking probably cut a piece of his tendon or something on his hand because he bled way too much for that to be, whatever, because he couldn't get the claw move on now. But Windham, resilient, Barry Windham, one of the greatest technicians in the ring ever.
Yeah.
Very, I don't want to say underrated, but he doesn't get enough credit, Windham covers, continues wearing Luger down for the gets a superplex. Selling the hand injury, of course. Windham gets a belly to back, but Luger lifts his shoulders and gets the U.S. title for the second time in the match. Windham throws a tantrum. Pyle drives Luger on the belt.
That was really cool. I felt, this was the first match of the night that really got me going because it told a phenomenal story. I know that's kind of like a cliche line.
No, you're right.
But it really did. It really did. From the moment that Windham hit the pole with the claw hand, you knew he was in trouble because there was even one point, and good thing Matt Stryker's taking notes now because there's a great point where Magnum TA points out that Barry Windham goes for the claw hold early on in the match. And Magnum TA points out, oh, he's going for the claw hold. He must be actually, his hand must be pretty injured because he's trying to call it a night by doing that move,
Yeah.
So he unsuccessfully puts the claw hold on Lex Luger. Luger gets out of it. funny enough, you know, Wyndham actually dominates, you know, for most of the match. But, you know, good thing Jim Ross is also on commentary. I love, you know, I really don't, a lot of people say Jim Ross is great, but I don't really think that they grasp how great the man is. And it's for moments like this where, you know, Barry Wyndham is dominating. He's using the hand, the right hand that's been injured, or left hand, whichever, doesn't matter. But he's obviously using it like it's not actually injured. And Jim Ross makes it a point to say, like, oh, well, you know, he must have a lot of trauma on that hand because it must be going numb right now. So he's totally like giving like a legitimate response to something that's, you know, maybe he completely forgot that he's working the claw hand during the match, you know? So I feel like it's just moments like that, you know, even if it was a mistake on Barry Windham's part, Jim Ross is, you know, coming in perfectly to explain what the hell's going on. So it makes sense, you know, just so like whatever the hell's going on in the ring, you know, comes off flawlessly to whoever's watching the show. And, you know, stuff like that really counts for me. And, awesome superplex, you know, from Barry Windham. That's his move.
That's his move.
You know, I associate him more with the superplex more than the claw.
Of course.
But, you know, that was part of his gimmick when he was in the Horseman and then, you know, this time. And, I love how when he hit the superplex, it was clear as day that, you know, Lex Luger is not going down to the superplex. But I love how Lex Luger himself is not always well known for his selling, but the fact that he barely kicked out was perfect because superplex is Barry Windham's hold, you know? Nobody kicks out of that. So if somebody is going to kick out of it,
it would be Lex.
Not just Lex, but the fact that he sold the superplex, the fact that he barely kicked out. So it wasn't like this powerful, like, you know, no selling the superplex. Like, he sold it. That was, you know, more than enough, more than expected out of Lex Luger. So,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that really, you know, made a difference. And the fact that, this was the next match that had kind of a like, oh, you think this guy's going to win, but it's actually this guy kind of thing with Luger getting his shoulder up, you know, after the suplex. I love the fact that Barry Windham just he's, you know, Barry Windham is such a great wrestler. The fact that, you know, he took the opportunity to lay the United States title down on the ground and pile drive Lex Luger onto the belt, adding insult to injury. It's just stuff like that really makes it kind of like, you know, it's like a bittersweet victory. So you want to see Lex Luger, you know, even though he won the title, you want to still see something between these two guys afterwards. And the fact that they had a history with one another from the very beginning of, you know, them coming onto the National Wrestling Alliance, on especially NWA, WCW. Initially, it was Barry Windham who was trying to talk Lex Luger out of not joining the Four Horsemen. And now look at it now. You know, this is Barry Windham, who's still associated with Ric Flair, going against Lex Luger, who's now the fanboy, you know, the babyface.
And like you mentioned, just tells a good story.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a good match. Really good match. I enjoyed it. And I think just you don't get that storytelling anymore like that, especially with Barry Windham.
Absolutely not. It's, you know, for as much advanced as wrestling has gotten, you know, there's just guys just doing stuff that you can never imagine from back in the 80s doing whatever guys are doing now. And it's the one thing that's still lacking is just the story, you know, no matter how better wrestling has gotten, just the fact that there really isn't a story is kind of sad.
I agree. Your next match was your Dave Powers Big Slab of Beef match of the night.
Damn right.
Your tag team championship is on the line. The NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Road Warriors, taking on the United States Tag Team Champions, Kevin Sullivan, Steve Dr. Death Williams of the Varsity Club. The Road Warriors are awesome at this point. They're so over. I remember getting a PWI from around this time that came with the centerfold with their getup that they had around this time with the chains on the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And Animal like grew out his mohawk a little bit. He looked like evil, man. It was fucking awesome. So we'll take you now to Jim Ross with the one of the best looking belts ever. The old NWA World Tag Team titles. Well, they were gorgeous, these belts, by the way.
All the belts during this time were.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just making point of these were really, really good looking. All right, let's take you down to Jim Ross and Road Warriors, shall we?
Bad. It's going to be physical. Jim Ross says, you and all the people out there can see. There's a lot of excitement going on here in World Championship Wrestling. And right in front of everybody stands the Legion of Doom, number one in tag team wrestling. Now, a lot of guys came out here, Kevin Sullivan, and talked crazy. But where are they now? They are another wrestling organization trying to make a stinking name for themselves. You are not going to flip past Chicago, Kevin Sullivan. You're going to pay. Tell them, Hawk.
Kevin Sullivan, the only reason there's no fear in your eyes is because you're dumber than a gas pump, Kevin Sullivan. You're about as sharp as a bowling ball, punk. A lot of guys that walked around when we were in Chicago as kids and said they were going to do this or they were going to do that. But when we ran into them face to face, they crawled like dogs, begged for mercy, because they thought that would get them an easy way out. When it didn't work, we beat them worse. Chicago, good for us, bad for you. Tell them, Paul.
You know, Jim Ross, you said this is getting hot, and you were right, but Ricky Steamboat, Benjamin Franklin said, a man that lives on hope will die fasting. That's what you're going to do, Ricky Steamboat. That's what you're going to do, Doc. That's what you're going to do, Rotunda. And that's what you're going to do, you little munchkin. You're going to die starving.
Very intense situation here, fans, in this studio. Right now, let's go back up to the ring.
Man. Best promo cutters ever.
Well, yeah.
Flair, Dusty, the Road Warriors. It just chills. Just chills.
All the guys from the NWA were just on fire during this time.
Yes. Yes.
This is the last of dying breed. I think probably early 90s is when things really started going down for NWA, WCW.
Yeah, this is true. Good point. So this is just Dave Powers, like I mentioned, Dave Powers slab of beef match of the night. This is just a slobber knocker, as Jim, no pun intended.
Worlds were colliding during this match.
Right, right.
Just slams and suplexes and just flesh on flesh just hitting
each other. Yeah, at one point, Dr. Death took a... First of all, Dr. Death, is as big as he is, he took a fucking beating in this match.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Death Steve Williams took a beating in this match. If you guys saw it. I know Josh, he said he watched it tonight before he tuned in tonight, so that's very cool. I appreciate that. We appreciate that. So you know he took a beating if you guys haven't seen it in a while. The hot tag to Hawk, he just kills everybody in the Varsity Club. Now everything's totally foobarred. If you don't know what foobar means, it's fucked up beyond all recognition. Totally foobarred ending is everyone misses their cue. Just miss spots everywhere at this point. Hawk winds up being a legal man and pinning. Nobody sees him coming off with the clothesline, pinning Kevin Sullivan. So the Road Warriors win the match and the nice little feud they had going on for a while. So that was pretty good. I mean,
this was supposed to be the a variation of this was supposed to be the main event for Clash of Champions 5.
Right,
which didn't happen because it was supposed to be who was it? Sting, Michael P.S. Hayes, and JYD going against Road Warriors and Tenru. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up going against the Varsity Club. This was a continuation of that, and. Tag titles on the line, as opposed to the six-man world tag titles, which hardly got defended. So, I don't know. It's just like when you just get the LOD together, with two other slabs of beef, just duking it out. Doesn't matter if the spots are, you know, like on point or not. Like everything is just, it's just a masterpiece of chaos happening in
the ring. All right. So we take to our main event of the evening. The Nature Boy Ric Flair defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. This was the best of their 19,378 matches.
Yeah, I'm willing to go on record to say this is my favorite of the three matches that they had for
really?
This year.
You like the I thought the Wrestle War one was better.
You know, this one was my favorite. I would it's a close call between this one and I believe it was Clash of the Champions with the two out of three falls match.
Yeah.
That one's really close to being my favorite, but this one is my absolute favorite, mainly because this is the one where Steamboat wins the title.
So let's take you now to Ric Flair, who's with Barry Windham and Hiro Matsuda, and Flair's going to give you a backstory about what's going on with them and his upcoming match with Steamboat.
Finest single athletes in professional wrestling today, the heavyweight champion of the world and the U.S. champion. If you were with us here this morning on Championship Wrestling, you saw them introduce their new mentor, Hiro Matsuda, to the world.
By this time, Mr. Matsuda needs no introduction. I believe that everyone in the wrestling world knows that Mr. Matsuda has bought Ric Flair's and myself contract for an unnamed sum of money. But believe me, this new corporation that has been formed is going to be one that is going to put the wrestling world on its ear. Mr. Flair and I are richer than we ever imagined, and in the years to come, we are going to have more things, more possession, more friends than we ever dreamed that we would ever have. Now, just a short word to Mr. Luger. Mr. Luger, coming up very soon, you are coming after the United States Heavyweight Championship. As I have told everyone before, Bam Bam Bigelow being the last man, you can't do it. You can't carry the load. It's already been proven with Ric Flair once. You step into the ring with me, you're going to be very unsuccessful.
Well, I hear a report of seven figures.
To you. Until you have experienced a beautiful Japanese woman, you will have no idea how gracious the Japanese culture is.
Is that true, Mega Powers?
Absolutely.
Okay, carry on, Rick.
A bottom line, Mr. Matsuda, the Yamasaki Corporation, Mr. Windham and myself have put together a multi-million dollar deal. Steamboat, take a look at this gentleman right here. My friend, it's no secret, Japanese blood runs in your veins. Think about it, Steamboat. You came out here and you said, when I get down and out, pal, you talk about conditioning in Chicago, woo, you're going to look at me and say, champ, slow down, woo, you're moving way too fast. Bottom line is, this could be the greatest wrestling experience of all time, certainly the richest.
Woo! All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you hear.
He does the woo and Matsuda bows at the same time. It's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. That's on the NWA World Championship Wrestling, February 4th, 1989. You can find the entire card on YouTube. Eddie Gilbert opens it up with a busted nose. It's pretty funny because they jumped him and Ricky Steamboat made the save. That's how the whole feud started again. So, either way, brings you to our final match of the evening.
The best match of the evening.
Flair's entrance complete with women, trumpets. Nothing short of brilliant. Do you want to get into this a little bit, Dave? Or you want to start?
Well, you know, these guys have been feuding with each other since, I want to say, either like the mid to late 70s. So they had like a good 10 years of fighting each other. Can you imagine that? Like, you know, going against the same guy, you know, on and off for 10 years.
I compare it to baseball, where you play your own division. I think it's 19 times a year. You play mm-hmm. those teams 19 times a year. So yeah. The Mets play the Braves 19 times, the Nationals 19 times. You know what I'm saying? So if you have a pitcher or an ace pitcher from the other team that you got to see fucking 4 or 5 times a year, it's annoying. You know? I think it's the same thing. But it brings out the best in these guys. And if your friends, like, and I know that we mentioned this a lot in a couple of the episodes, that you can tell sometimes when guys are legit cool in the gang with each other, like off, you know, not when they're not wrestling, because you could tell that they put on such amazing matches. You can't get any better than this.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, what was I going to say? You know, with these guys, you know, I'm sure for a lot of guys, it's kind of like, you know, I've heard stories about, you know, the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express, and also Midnight Express versus the Fantastics night after night after night. And, you know, they're going after, you know, different towns in the same territory. And it's like they got to keep it fresh. They can't do the same match every night. They have to keep doing different stuff. And I feel with Steamboat and Flair, one of the reasons why this match was an instant classic is because they just faced each other so many times, and they anticipated, you know, doing competition with each other. You know, it was, you know, there's a lot of stories of how, you know, Dusty and Flair would always try to one-up each other, you know, outside the ring, but I feel Steamboat and Flair try to outdo each other inside of the ring. And, you know, this match is, you know, really special for me because Steamboat is coming off already an instant classic from the WrestleMania 3 match against Macho Man Randy Savage. So he's coming fresh out of the WWF. He lost the Honky Tonk Man, who would go on to be the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. So when you have a match like the WrestleMania 3 match against Randy Savage that sparked so many great athletes like Chris Jericho, you know, Edge and Christian, you know, the names go on and on. So what can you really do after WrestleMania 3? And Steamboat's, you know, he's one of these kind of guys who he needs a great opponent. He doesn't always do his best with anybody. And Flair is just, he's the man, goes without saying. So with these guys colliding with one another at Chi-Town Rumble 89, you know, needless to say, there's some times where, you know, during the week, I do so much overtime. Actually, I was doing my timesheet for at my job this week, and my overtime was almost 40 hours. Just throwing that out there, so I'm a little bit tired.
Nah, it's all good, man. We're gonna wrap this up. That's why we didn't even want to take any call signs. So I'm sorry, Scott, and everybody else who wanted to call in. You know, it's already after over 2 hours, and I just wanted to get.
Yeah.
We wanted to get all our stuff out tonight because I won't be here next week, and I feel like, you know, if we take calls every week, it takes away from the show. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
But anyway, this match woke me the fuck up when I saw it.
Yeah, of course it did.
And I was on the edge of my seat as if it was the first time that I ever saw it. Every time I see this match, it's like the first time every time. And it's just like Titans clashing. It's the best of the best. And, you know, with Flair and Steamboat, it's like near falls every other second. You have no idea who's going to get the one up on the other guy. Both guys are fully capable of beating each other. They both beat each other countless times, so you don't even know who's going to really go over on the other guy.
No, yeah. I mean, for me, I know things are coming to a head when Tommy Young gets bumped.
Yeah.
Flair tosses Steamboat, but Steamboat hangs on and goes for the body press again and misses. Flair goes for the figure four. Teddy Long runs in to do the sub. Steamboat reverses to a small package against the winning pinfall and claims his first world title. So if you're going to compare it to Wrestle War, I guess because Steamboat winning the title, that would that would validate anybody like you and anybody else to say, well, I think this is better because he actually won the title.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the matches, I don't want to say they're all the same, but they have the same.
These three are a bit different, but they go through the similar sequence.
Same motions, right. And they just put on a fantastic clinic of what to do to tell a story to keep it moving. Ricky Steamboat was always deserving of a world title. Always. And he should have got one in the WWF, but that's another podcast. Match of the night, and like I said, if you read Ric Flair's book, he dedicates an entire chapter to these matches, yeah. And to their time together and to their time together in Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was Chi-Town Rumble. I wanted to do it next month or in March, but I figured we have so much going on between Black History Month and WrestleMania. I wanted to get it out of the way, and something I had on my radar. But
to cover the other two matches,
yeah, eventually. I want to do them all. I don't think we did Wrestle War. You know, we didn't do those pay per views yet.
No, we didn't do any of them.
Yeah, so I think we could do all those and tell a good story. You know, because it's a good story to be told, and I think Steamboat's second run in the company. I mean, again, we talked about him being in Mid-Atlantic back in the day with him and Jay Youngblood with the Final Conflict, which is amazing. And I know he had, like, U.S. title matches and stuff like that, but nothing was ever televised. A lot of the stuff that him and Flair did wasn't televised.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless you watch this, you can't really appreciate it. But you could tell that they get along, and you could tell they were pals. You could tell that they just fucking put on a clinic, and it was.
Well, depending on what DVD you're watching or what shoot interview you're watching, you know, a lot of these guys say, you know, their best matches were in the 70s that weren't even televised, that were just in some random arena in bumfuck, Tennessee.
Yeah, Dusty would tell you that. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead, finish. No, Dusty said some of his best stuff was in Florida with the Grams, and none of that stuff was televised unless you live down there.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
So, but, you know, this was the beginning of, you know, just as much as Savage and Steamboat, you know, influenced a lot of wrestlers. You know, this was the beginning of a lot of, you know, wrestlers worldwide that would begin to get influence, you know, to start their own careers, you know, through the Flair and Steamboat feud. And, you know, big proponent of, you know, this feud as like the best is William Regal. And it's, you know, it's always funny when you, you know, it's not too out of the ordinary for, you know, old school hardcore fans to be saying like, yeah, I used to do tape trading back in the day, you know, for Japanese stuff. But, you know, for me, it's kind of rare to hear, you know, people from other countries tape trading American stuff, which really shouldn't be out of the ordinary because a lot of Japanese stuff was influenced by American stuff. But I think it's really cool that, you know, one of the biggest proponents is William Regal, who, you know, he would watch these matches between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat ad nauseum. And just, you know, practice, you know, the motions and stuff like that. You know, Chris Jericho has been on record for saying that he's, you know, memorized the entire Macho Man versus Steamboat match at WrestleMania 3.
Yep.
And, you know, it's clear as day that William Regal, you know, amongst, you know, world of sport, you know, matches, you know, he's been on record saying it too. You know, he studied these matches between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, you know, move for move. You know, what's that got to say when, you know, these three classic matches, you know, from Chi-Town Rumble, Clash of the Champions, and Wrestle War, you know, went on to, you know, influence countless wrestlers to learn their craft. That speaks volumes. And look at the talents that, you know, are saying that these matches have made them what they are.
And it made for good storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. So we hope you all enjoyed WrestleWar 89. You have anything else you want to add to it, or you want to start wrapping this puppy up?
Let's wrap this puppy up.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, well, one more thing I want to add on to it. I think this is one of the few, one of the final pay-per-views to have the champion speech at the end.
Yeah.
Anytime that there was title change specifically for the World Heavyweight title, they would have a few words with the champion in the back, champagne, popping champs in the back. And this is customary, extremely old school. With Ricky Steamboat putting over Ric Flair, saying how great of a champion that he is and deserves every single accolade that he's ever achieved, and be looking forward to that rematch between the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Good stuff, Mega Powers. Good stuff. Good point. Thank you everybody for hanging out tonight. You guys were awesome in the chat room tonight, man. MVPs tonight, man. We haven't had a good chat room like this in a long, long time.
The people have spoken.
Yes.
Make Slam 2 should be AA versus Rage.
You guys heard it. You want to hear the show? Download
Father it. Versus son, student versus teacher, call what you will. Hey, go back to listen to those old Rant episodes from last year. Not even last year. Well, let me correct myself. It was from last year, but it was like 6 months ago. Listen to him.
Anyway.
Who was the guy that was the most vocal out of everybody for me to face Rage? It's AA. I stood up to the plate, said, hey, we got to have this happen. We got to entertain our listeners. We got to do something fun. But who was the guy that was most insistent on Rage losing? Not just losing, but being humiliated and learning a lesson. At Mega Slam. Man, it was AA. Just saying.
All right. You heard it. Mega Powers has spoken. Put a bow on this bitch. Get ready for Black History Month. I will not be here next week. Mega Powers will be on. Hopefully live. We'll work that out behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there. I want to do a round table with some of our African-American hosts, Lee Champion.
All right. There you go.
Tony C, the Black Hammer.
Surfer,
because he's just going to call in anyway.
Rick Dara, McWrestling, actually Shining Wizards. But just not get it. Let's get a whole round table for Black History Month next week. I will call in if there's a phone line available from the hammock where I'll be chilling most of the weekend.
AA, book it.
Book it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on Rant EM Radio every week, 9
we're
p.m.
Live.
That's right. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, Audio Boom, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. You want to email us, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. You want to Facebook.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. On Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks and Periscope. We have T-shirts, 4 of them. Please buy a T-shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. 4 excellent styles. Go get them. Go get them.
IWO shirts coming soon.
Yes, IWO shirts coming soon. Stevie Ray, we love you. Feel better. That's pretty much it. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word unless you're on Esther. And that's it.
What did you say?
What is it, honest?
Start getting your, start writing your entries in for the Martin Luther King of the Ring 2016 for Black Achiever Awards, Best African Athlete Award. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com.
That's right. And that's pretty much it for us, man. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Oh.